Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word. Hadabarim, Hebrew for these are the words. The words that Moses gave us about 30 days before his passing or back to the Father. You know, it's amazing teaching at how wonderful our Father is. Many of you may say, well, what are we doing back in the Old Testament? Well, I'm going to tell you, when we get to the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, that's the song of Moses. Revelation 15 says, if you don't know that song, you're not going to heaven. So, you know, you're back here and you're getting the foundation of true salvation whereby you're not deceived in the end times. Now, in chapter 27, Almighty God has given you 12 curses. That's a warning. Don't do those things or you get in trouble. That's fair. And that's good, because you're the captain of your own ship. If you want to sail it right into the curses, hey, have a good trip. Now, in this 28th chapter, which we're now in, he gives six cursings and six blessings. Again, always fair, your choice. You can take the blessings, or you can just walk right into the cursings. And he tells you exactly how to stay out of trouble. Now, we're coming up to verse 55 of this 28th chapter, and what has happened is the Antichrist has appeared. Families are being split over it. Spiritual cannibalism, because parents are even selling their children into the slavery of the false Christ by starvation for truth. Starvation in the end times you will always find written in Amos chapter in the great book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 15, the famine in the end days is not for bread, but for hearing the word of God. Verse 13, I should have said, but be that as it may. The true bread is Christ's body, his truth. He is the word. And when you absorb that word, don't let your children be deceived by false teachings. There's a lot of it out in the world. Well, how do I know the difference? Check it out in God's Word. It's that simple. A child can understand that. If it isn't written in God's Word, it's probably a bunch of malarkey. So never follow malarkey or you'll end up in the cursings. It's your ship, you sail it. But always be responsible for your own decisions. Chapter 28, verse 55, that famine for truth continues. Spiritual cannibalism of people selling their own children by false teaching continues. A little graphic, but it's truth. Let's teach it. Verse 55 reads, so that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates, unless you blessed. You know, never be deceived by the false Messiah. It's already beginning in this world, my friend. How are you doing? How are you fixed? Verse 56. The tender, that's tender-hearted, and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground of for delicateness and tenderness. Her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. In other words, this you've read it in Mark 13. When you're delivered up before the false Messiah, mother will betray daughter to death, the father the son. Well, who is death? Well, have you never read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14? Christ came to this earth to die on the cross to destroy death, which is to say the devil. So, being the devil, so it is. Don't betray your children. What is this message that Satan delivers when he comes as the false Christ? I've come to rapture you out of here. A lot of people believe in that rapture, and away they go. Verse 57. And toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. Gates is a place of judgment. Okay, and certainly, you have to take this as a spiritual thing. It's going to be so bad. when the false Messiah comes, you know who he's going to say he is? He will say, I'm Jesus. And if you're not learned in Father's Word, you're not. He can snap his fingers and lightning come down from heaven, as it's written in Revelation chapter 13. Have you ever read it? The whole world will wonder after some superstar in this generation. What will they do with someone like that, claiming to be Messiah, performing miracles in the sight of people? That's why it's written in Revelation, the whole world except for God's elect go whoring after the false Christ. Verse 58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law, God's word, that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. And in the Hebrew tongue, this is Yahweh Elohim. And you with companion Bibles, check out Appendix 48 and it'll explain the sacred names to you in that respect. You're either with him or you're not. The choice is yours. Our Father is always so very fair. He warns you before where the trouble is. If you walk into it, whose fault is it? Naturally, it's yours. And you know something? If you're not careful, you even lead your children into it. You're not only responsible for your own failing, but theirs also in a case like that. Sad situation. It's better to be blessed than cursed. That's what God is telling you in this chapter. Verse 59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and for long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. You know what this is? Think now. Think about it. Verse 60, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and thou shalt cleave, and they shall cleave unto thee. So, what's happening when this transpires? You're a time element is being mentioned here, if you're familiar with God's word. You ever heard of the vials? What are the vials like? All but one are just like the plagues of Egypt. Who are they poured out on? The ignorant in these end times. Ignorant is not a bad word. It just means they don't know any better because they haven't been taught. You know, salvation is a beautiful thing, but you want to make sure who it is that's saving you, whether it's the true Christ or the fake. Do you know the difference? And then many will say, well, I didn't know there were two of them. Well, then you haven't read God's word. So, it's really a simple thing. The very important thing for you as God's elect to know is which one of those vials is different than the rest. And if you check the last Passover's messages, you would learn. Verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. You know, if you deliberately go against him, he's going to bring it on. You know, you with that would prefer to hear this from the New Testament, you might read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses about 7 through 10, where he says, God tells you himself, if you want to believe that one claiming that to be me, Messiah, standing in Jerusalem, where he ought not, the son of perdition, which is Satan. If you want to believe that lie, I will help you out. I will send you strong delusion. I'll pour it out on you. I'll help you go down the wrong path if you want it. That's what he's talking about here. God is jealous. You know, he's hoping to find a virgin bride when he comes here, spiritually speaking. But if you've already hopped in the sack with the false Christ, he really doesn't need you. And you've really blown it because you didn't know the difference between the cursings and the blessings. God's fair. He warned you. It's your choice. Next verse, please. Verse 62. And you shall be left few in number, Whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, when the 10 tribes went north, went over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, settled Europe, many of them later migrating to America and Canada and other places in the world. They were, as God promised, numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of sea. How many will know the truth? Very few. Don't have time to study God's Word. Too important in my own upbringing, not listening to the advice of Almighty God, Yahweh Elohim. It's a bad trip, my friends. And you can read in Revelation chapter 3 and 4 where the whole world, not just a few, the whole world wonders after the false Christ. They don't know any better. In a high-tech world where we have so much high technology, biblical illiteracy is rampant. 63. Listen carefully. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. You know, in the one world system, God, when God gets ready to destroy it, if you fall in with that group, if you're taken in by those lies, that misdirection, spiritually speaking, God's going to take great pleasure in showing you your ignorance. I know it, you might say, well, that sounds a little wicked. No, it's not wicked of the Father. It's totally, completely fair. He issued in the last chapter 12 curses. Don't participate in them. They're secret. In this chapter, he listed 6 curses that are not secret. Don't participate in them. Rather, participate in the 6 blessings that he listed and be blessed of Almighty God through thick, through thin, forever. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, and you will not be deceived. Verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even into the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. You know that the false Christ, I don't care what religion you are, when he works miracles on the earth, all religions will heave to him. They will believe it is their leader. That's how powerful he is. See that you're not taken in. Verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy feet have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. In other words, your eyes are not going to be able to see the truth through the deception, and your mind is going to be so confused in the deception that you're not going to know up from down or come here from sickle. That's our Father's word. Many might say, well, you're being a little hard on the people. Hey, it's not. I'm not being hard on the people. God is being totally fair. He's letting you know what will happen to you if you become deceived into the ways of the world instead of the ways of Almighty God. Verse 66, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. There's only one peace of mind, and that's the true Messiah and his truth. Have you read them? Have you absorbed them? For the false one is coming. And you can better understand in Ezekiel chapter 13 why God would say, I am against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls, when my outreach saving arms are there to take them. I don't know. Who are you going to listen to? Traditions of man or the Word of God? It's your choice. Your ship, you sail it. Verse 67. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it was morning. no peace day or night, for the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. In other words, it's quite a thing when you're deceived. You don't know which way to turn. And you begin leaning and borrowing from other nations rather than trusting Almighty God. That's where our nation stands today. As you read back in the 12th verse of this chapter, what did it say? The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give you rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow from other nations. We're borrowing, my friend, and that pulls us away from God's blessings. You want to wake up, we're moving on along. The captivity of deception has already begun. Are you learned in our Father's Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse? Can you be had by Satan? Then not if you love the Lord, for he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and he will promise you blessings in the middle of this storm. Just hang on and enjoy. Verse 68, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. You know, do you understand what a statement of degradation that is? You're going to be sold as a slave from a slave ship, but you are so sorry nobody will pay a penny for you. They don't want you. You know, what you want to always remember, your Father does want you. He loves you. That's why he's warning you with these dire warnings of the end times. And stay with me. When we get to the 32nd chapter of the Song of Moses, you must know that song, or you're, according to Revelation 15, you're not going to make it. So it's important. That's why we're back here. And as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, all these things happened as an example whereby you would know what it would be like at the end. Do you? You know, God considers his children more valuable than anything in the world. So don't fall in this cursed lot that's not worth a penny. Worthless. Absolutely no good. You might say, well, how could that be? We're children of God. We thought we were loving him. You were loving Satan, the Antichrist, because you didn't read the letter God sent you. He sent this letter to you so you wouldn't mess up, so you would have hope, so you would have his blessings. And as I've mentioned before in this same chapter, what did God say to you in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26? He said, hey, remind me of the promises I've made to you. Let's talk about them so I can justify your life. Now, God knows the promises he's made, but he wants to know if you do. Do you know his promises? You've got to know them and you've got to claim them. You've got to talk to him about them before he can justify or bless you. I don't know how you're doing. It's up to you. It's your ship. You sail it. It is not the responsibility of any Christian to force someone to believe, but only to teach. And then you're on your own. It's make your own mind up. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. These people that are confused where they don't know anything from one payday to the next, that's all they care about. Just making it. Without ever cracking God's word to find truth and strength and stability. To know how to beat usury. To know how to be prosperous with God's blessings. It's there for you. There's cursings and there's blessings. Your decision all the way. Okay, chapter 29, verse 1. And here we start with the very title in the Hebrew, Deuteronomy in the Greek, but in the Hebrew, these are the words. That's Had-eh-barim in the Hebrew tongue. These are the words. absorb them, live by them. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. It's not different. God is the same yesterday, he is today, and he is forever. This is his contract with you. This is his promise. Verse 2, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land. You absolutely witnessed the miracles. God parting the Red Sea, feeding with you with manna, bringing quail right into the camp, a fire, a pillar of fire at night, and a cloud at day to protect you. You witnessed those things. Verse 3, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs, and those great miracles. What he's saying here, be careful that you don't grow insensitive to the miracles of God and take them for granted. Okay, they had witnessed it. Verse 4, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. You can remember the miracles, but you don't understand the ultimate plan that God is working through. Salvation. And testing even his very children that they're not deceived as they were in the first earth age. Verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. 40 is probation. Your clothes are not waxed old upon you, and thy shoes are not waxed old upon thy feet. In other words, divine intervention where God walked with them. And so it is true. But what God is teaching you here is that you must do your part. He certainly has done his. He certainly has opened the gates of heaven for you if you'll participate. He's given you the blessings and the promises if you'll receive them. Kind of if you claim them. And then if you do his part, well, what is my part? Do the commandments that the Lord has given you. Don't just hear them and listen, but be a doer. 6, ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine nor strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 7, and when ye came into this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, the giant, and Og, another giant, the king of Bashan, came out against us into battle, and we smote them. God gave them over into their hand. Verse 8, and we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to a half tribe of Manasseh. This is before they crossed the Jordan, when they were on the east, northeast side of the Dead Sea, before they crossed Jordan to give all the other tribes their allotment. 9, the covenant was reiterated again before that crossing and before Moses would depart. Verse 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant. Can you do that? And do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. That's the promise. I don't know, do you want to be prosperous? I'm going to tell you what, it's not a matter of all you give to God. The more you give to God, the more you get back. You know, it's how much work you do for God in taking his seed forth, his word, and passing it, and living it, and sticking with the commandments. When all somebody has on their mind is finances, guess what they're after? Finances. But if you keep the words and stay out of the curses and receive the blessings, how blessed you are. And you know, again, I want to reiterate one more time how fair our Father is, that he forewarns you. Don't go there or it will burny, burny, burny. You know, a child can understand that. Leave the curses alone and partake of the blessings and prosper. Verse 10, you stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. Your captains and your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel. And this is a summons for all to come to the covenant, to enter into this covenant. Everybody. It's open. 11. Your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, whomsoever will. From the hewer of thy wood into the drawer of thy water, whether you're up, down, rich, poor, somewhere in between, it's open to everyone. Verse 12, it emphasizes all. Verse 12, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. Do you understand something? You know, man might make you an oath and he may break it. Unfortunately, there are people that will do that. Your word should never be broken, quite frankly. If you have a habit of breaking your word, you should never give it. Okay. But the main thing I want you to know, if God makes a vow and an oath, he sticks with it. You can count on it. God is the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. So you can come in to his house whenever you want to. When Jesus rent that veil from top to bottom in the Holy of Holies and said, come on in. You don't need some preacher. You don't need some reverend or priest. He rent that veil and he's open to you, his child, his children, for you to participate in the great covenant that he has made. Whomever you are, whomsoever will. Verse 13. That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Do you know something? You've got the real thing, my friend. You have Almighty God, Yahweh. Why would you want to let some would-be Messiah deceive you? And you know, if you read the letter God has sent you to warn you, you know he's coming first. He comes at the sixth trump. The true Christ doesn't return until the seventh. The child can count. You should be able to, too. What are you going to do at the sixth trump, sixth vial, and the sixth seal? That's 666. He's coming first. And here, our Heavenly Father has made this contract with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You stick with me. Read his letter. Hold to it. Be a hearer, but also be a doer. 14. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. 15. But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. In other words, generation to generation, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, to right now, today. You're a part of it. If you choose. If you choose the blessings, if you hear the covenant, and if you stick with it. It's a contract with our Father. He loves you. But he's jealous. You know, and rightfully so. You know, anytime you really love someone, if reason is given, you're going to be jealous. And Lord only knows, a lot of people give him reason. When they start messing around with traditions of men that make void the letter he sent to us. Deceiving the children. Verse 16. I want you to know this is in paren. Hang to it till we finish the next verse and then we'll stop. For at the end of the paren. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed by. The paren continues, verse 17, and you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. End of paren. You know, when you look at false religions, what do you see? Just that, a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of falseness, that pulls children away from the real truth with lies, with misleading instructions. The word's kind of rampant. You want to strengthen your children. You know, once to thank goodness for children that are taught in God's word. You cannot deceive them. They are anchored in the word of God. And in the word of God they will stay. Verse 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. There is so much in that. This word gall, you need to really check it out. You know what it is in the Hebrew manuscript? Rosh, R-O-S-H, which is the chief prince of Meshach, Rosh. Or today, Russia, not the people, not the Christian people there, but the nation. And do you know what wormwood is? Chernobyl. Kind of want to wake up, my friend. That is wormwood. And the gall. And that's where the battle will take place. You want to remember that. So, stick to God's word and wake up. The hour is late and the time of the coming. When we get to chapter 32, you're going to be blessed. So hang tough. 19. And it came to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. You know, you can deceive yourself. You can say, oh, it's going to be all right. Not if it's not according to God's word. One more verse and then we're going to stop. 20. The Lord shall not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Do you know what happens when you blot something out? You know, just try it someday. Just make a little mark and then blot it out. Where does it go? It doesn't exist anymore. God spoke and everything became something. He can speak and something becomes nothing. I don't know, what are you worth? If God loves you, you're in good standing. If you fall into the curses, there's always the millennium because God loves his children. But God is stern. When he gives you a fair break and you won't listen, whose fault is it? It's yours. Well, I just wish I could understand. Then read. Take everything traditional out of the way and read the word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse and be instructed, not from man, but from God himself. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart, you listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you got a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, church, or organization. We don't judge people. Teach God's Word, let the chips fall wherever they may, and never, never apologize for the Word of God. That's what saves people. That's what gives people a foundation that they can stand on and be prosperous and blessed from our Father Himself. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Got a prayer request? You don't need that number. You don't need an address. You know why? Because God knows what you're thinking right now. You don't even have to say it out loud. He's a cardio-knower. He knows your mind. That's why He is the judge. Because you can't con Him. He knows your life. It's in the book of life. So make sure that you don't get your name erased, as He was warning there. But keep it proud. And remember that righteous acts cover a multitude of sins. See that you're pleasing to Him. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen, amen. All right. Question time. We're going to go with Lonnie from Texas. In reference to Ezekiel 44:25, I have a sister who married but never had children. Her husband and his family have died. What is her station now? Will I be able to help her in the millennium, or will she be linked to his family? What she's drawing from here, it says that you can help anyone, and if you're one of God's Zadok, which is a Hebrew word meaning elect, that you can help during the millennium if you have a mother, father, brother, sister unmarried, that you can help them if you're one of God's elect. What? Just dress them down, discipline them, and get their act together. But in this case, naturally, when two are married, they become one flesh. And that's why God adds that to it. But if you love your sister, our Father is a loving Father. And He cuts slack. He does that when one truly can reach His heart. Joyce from California. Where did the other people come from if Adam and Eve were supposed to be the first people? Adam, you know, this is traditions of men. The Hebrew manuscripts are very specific. On the sixth day, God created all the races and told them to go fish, to go hunt, to replenish the earth. He rested the seventh day. And on the eighth day, He created in the Hebrew tongue, Eth Ha'adam, a different person. That's Adam. And then He brought Eve forth, His wife, from the helix curve of the DNA, the feminine DNA, and created Eve. I know the word says curve, and it's translated rib. Not so. It's the helix curve. You know, we have learned now concerning DNA of the helix curve. But then He brought forth those through which Christ would come. And that would be the purpose that He created, Eth Ha'adam, not just Adam. That's why we have all the races, and there should be no racial problems. As it is written in the last verse of chapter 1 in Genesis, after God created all the races, they're here. It was good. He looked and it was good. He's proud of all the races, just like they are. Bill from California, could you please give me the scripture that teach against the rapture? It doesn't necessarily teach against the rapture. It is the doctrine. It states in Ezekiel chapter 13, beginning with verse 18 and 19, I have my outstretched saving arms, and those daughters of Jerusalem, meaning the children of Israel, that sow pillars over my saving arms and then teach people to fly to save their souls, I'm against it. He desperately hates it. And yet, after 1830, when Mary McDonald had this dream of any moment, two preachers heard it, and boy, that started it. The word rapture is not even in the Bible. And it's the main tool Satan uses when he comes at the sixth trump to gather people in, to teach them. And you know, the thing is, he didn't bring war. This is what's going to mess up a lot of people. As it is written in Daniel chapter 8, he comes in peacefully and prosperously. Love, love, love. And I'm Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Only he's a liar, liar, liar. Whitney from Oklahoma, would you please further explain Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32? 16:32, a man that can control his anger is very settled. It's self-control. A man that has self-control is a leg up on other people that are quick to snap. Okay. Self-control. You're blessed. Eric from Florida. As I recall, there is a list of cities where the Antichrist will make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and I can't find it. Can you tell me where I can find it? It doesn't exist. He comes, as it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, directly to Mount Zion, just as Christ will return to the Mount of Olives. And he sits in the holy place claiming, showing the world that he is God. But he is the son of perdition. Now, it's important that you know what son of perdition means. Perdition is a palie. It's one of Satan's names in the Greek. Okay. It means that he's already sentenced to perish. There's only one entity by name that has been sentenced to perish. It wasn't Judas Iscariot. He repented. It is the king of Tyre, Satan, from Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. He's turned to ashes from within. He's the son of perdition. Eddie from Nevada. Is pharmacy, in the Greek, pharmacia, does it mean witchcraft? I was told medicine is of the devil. Is it wrong? Absolutely it's wrong. Medicine is a science. And it is true that the word pharmacia, usually it is translated in the Greek, in English, wizard. Okay. Well, why would they translate pharmacy? Our word pharmacy comes from it, pharmacia. Because the wizards use drugs to put people on so-called spiritual trips, and therefore the meaning. But Luke was a medical doctor. He was a physician. God blesses physicians that are Christian and certainly that do God's work. There are good Christians among many peoples. I'm good physicians. So there's nothing wrong with taking legal, proven medicines when you're ill. It's also wonderful if you anoint yourself with the oil of our people and ask Christ to do the healing to boot. Juanita from Georgia. Would you please document in the Bible where it says Satan was not born of woman? Thanks. Ezekiel 28:13. The same chapter I just forementioned. Ezekiel 28:13 is where God says to the king of Tyrus. Tyrus in the Hebrew tongue means rock. Not our rock, their rock. The fake rock. Christ is our rock. But which is Satan. He said, the cherubim in which I created in the day you were created was not born. And then it goes on, and when you get down to verse 18 and 19 of that 28th chapter of Ezekiel, it says that because of his pride, of instead of covering the mercy seat, he wanted to sit on it, a messiah connotation. You will be turned to ashes from within. And that's Satan's sentence. It still hangs, and it will be carried out. Willie from Mississippi. Where in the Bible does it say Jesus went to the bottom pits of hell and defeated Satan? Well, let's don't say he defeated Satan. Let's say that he freed his people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Christ, while he was yet in the tomb, went all the way back to the time of Noah, and gave all those people that died before the crucifixion an opportunity to accept salvation through him because he had paid the price. And when you continue reading on into chapter 4 of 1 Peter, it says he freed many of the captives. He didn't defeat Satan. Satan still exists. He is allowed. But he is locked by Michael now, but Michael's going to kick him out of heaven, as it's written in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Well, where's he going to kick him to? Right here on good old terra firma, earth. Woe, woe, woe to you that are on earth. Satan is with you, and he knows he has but a short time as Antichrist. It's going to happen. This generation will see it. It is written. Mike from Illinois. Why doesn't God forgive the devil and so man can overcome good and evil? Well, Mike, you should be able to overcome good and evil without the devil being done away with. What's wrong? What's your problem? You have a hard time making your mind up for cursings or blessings? What good do you think it would do to you? It's impossible for God to forgive the devil. A lot of people get confused when they read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 where it says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." That's where you make a very bad mistake, because the Greek manuscripts read, "No marvel that some of these super preachers are wrong, because Satan himself will come disguised as an angel of light." But he's still the devil. He has work to do. And then God will not forgive him. He's going to fry him. I mean, scorch him. Turn him to ashes from within. We don't want him around. He caused much of this. When we're in heaven, we don't want any more of that. It's gone. And God will take care of it. Pamela from Arkansas. I would like to know more about the sins of the father being cast upon the children. Could you explain it to me? You know, as it is written in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29, if the father bites on a sour grape, the child's teeth are not set on edge, and vice versa, meaning we do not answer for the sins of our father or our children. You answer only for your own sins. Where many people have lost the art of reading with understanding. And in the great book of Exodus, where the Ten Commandments are given, it states there in chapter 20 that to 10 generations, for those that disobey God, God will punish them. And many people say, well, it falls off on the children for 10 generations. No, you didn't listen. For those that disobey God, to 10 generations. I don't care if it was 1,000 generations. If they disobey God, he's still unhappy about it. It has nothing to do with offspring. It has to do with people disobeying God. The first generation that begins to love him and obey him, they only answer for their own sins. Got it? Your answer, though, properly found, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29. No child answers for their father's sins. Cecilia from Texas. Where in the Bible does it document that we will all be the same age in heaven? Well, it's axiomatic. In other words, what is it about a spiritual body? What is the description of a spiritual body? It doesn't get ill. It doesn't age. It doesn't wrinkle. It's not perishable. Time has no effect whatsoever on it. All the same age. God created all the souls in the first earth age. And this really shakes some people up. What do you mean he created them? Where did you come from? Well, I came from God. That's what I'm telling you. We all came from him. But there was a first earth age before this one. I mean, science has documented it, and God's good book says there was an age before this one. If you know how to read, have you read it? There was an earth age before this, and certainly that God... You can read of it in Job chapter 38, the stars, the children of God all laughed with joy. You can read in Proverbs chapter 8, the wisdom speaking. All of God's children laughed with glee in the first earth age. In other words, age has nothing to do with the spiritual body. It lives eternally if you have a spiritual soul. Mark from North Carolina, I love studying with you. Please do not get discouraged by critics. We're going to do our best. Water off a duck's back, you know. Being politically correct is out the window. Morally correct is what, right? And if somebody doesn't like what I say, hey, push off. Coxswain, you're loaded, shove off. You know, I'm not hard up for students. And if somebody wants to criticize, let them go. You know, they criticized the Lord Jesus Christ when His Word was taught. So if you teach His Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you're going to be criticized. It doesn't bother me one iota. Thank you. Question. Why was it okay for Rahab to tell a lie? It was covert activity. Two wonderful people and some very evil people wanted to kill him. And she simply pulled a covert activity, and God is for covert. I have a tape titled Covert Activity. You might want to read it. You know, it's like we get a little squeamish today. I started to say Seabees, but I mean SEALs, Navy SEALs, that this clown that did away with four contractors was captured. In some way or another, he ended up with a fat lip. And they, with covert activity, went in and captured this snake and drug him out. And now he's screaming, which they are taught, say they punished you, they tortured you, and then you get some idiot as a leader that is afraid that waterboarding somebody is torture when they burn people at the stake, shoot women in the head that are caught. And, I mean, you know, any official that tries to back people like that is slimy. Sorry. Covert activity is just fine when it's for a righteous act. I know that may upset some people, but evil people do evilly, and they will lie about righteous people. Those Navy SEALs should be released immediately. They did a good thing. And, you know, quite frankly, this old combat Marine, if I'd been taking him, he would probably have a lot more than a fat lip in a nice way, and then pray for him, of course. LaDon from Washington. What can I do to help build a better relationship with my daughters and my mother? My mother has an untamed tongue. Well, just live the good life. Set the example. They live by your example. And they're blessed. So, in other words, when God blesses you, people notice it. They're drawn to that. And when people are drawn to someone that's blessed, then that blessing rubs off, and that sets a good example. And they want to follow in those footsteps, which is the footsteps of Christ. Naturally, you might say, well, I want to follow in the footsteps of Christ. That's good, but you want to remember they crucified him. They even bloodied him up at one time. So you better be a little thick skin. But you better believe in the Lord God Almighty strong enough that secondary doesn't make a bit of difference. Barbara from Nebraska. I can't remember the date that you were talking about Judas Iscariot. I'm sorry, I disagree with what you said. That is, there is nowhere in the Bible to back this up about him being cut open. Please explain this. There is scripture of this somewhere. Where did you come up with this statement? Haven't you ever read the Bible? Acts chapter 1, verse 18. Acts chapter 1, verse 18. He was hung all right, but he was split open from his Adam's apple to his navel, and his insides fell out on the ground. He had a lot of help, okay? The Kenites always are helpful when someone betrays them. A Nom from Iowa. I've been taught my whole life there is a rapture. Thank you for the truth. You are so welcome. I am still learning and have a few questions. When does the Lord come back? At which trump or vial? 777. Seventh trump, seventh seal, seventh vial. But always remember, the false Christ comes at the sixth seal, sixth trump, sixth vial, 666. That's his number. Where does it state 5 months for the tribulation period rather than 3.5 or 7 years? Revelation chapter 9. Satan's name is given in two languages, so you cannot go wrong. That chief that is over the locust army is Apollyon. That's Satan's name in Greek, destroyer. And Abaddon is his name in the Hebrew tongue, destroyer. And he is their captain. And he will have only a 5 month period, which happens to be, why does God use the locust as his sign of that army? Because it has a 5 month time that it comes out in that series in the 17 year locust, okay? Always, and when God uses things of that nature, analyze and absorb the truth. Revelation chapter 9, I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. It makes his day when you read the letter that he has written to you to absorb. When you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. Listen good now. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's